Hello and welcome to the As Yet Unnamed London Theatre Podcast for the 3rd of January 2015. My name's TRP Watson and this is our theatre review of 2015. This week I'm joined by Gareth James, Julie Raby and Paul in London. We're going to start this review by talking about the National Theatre. They had a bit of a mixed year. What did you think about the year at the National Theatre, Gareth?
I agree with you, it's a mixed year. Although I would pick out eight things that were evenings I very much enjoyed at the National, although, that's eight out of a total of 60 that I would pick out across all of the theatres. As far as revivals were concerned, I think they did two good things last year. One was, and the best, was the Beau Stratagem, which I thought was a particularly good revival, very lively and a brilliant use of music. And the other kind of caught me by surprise, which was Our Country's Good, because I'd seen a revival comparatively recently, the Outer Joint one that came into the St. James's Theatre. And I wasn't sure I was ready to go and see it again, but as, one's kind of finger tends to sort of click a mouse sometimes, and it all happens. And I was really, really glad I went. So I think there were two very good revivals there. But I think that the surprising thing for me at the National this year was it's actually very good for new plays, which I think we've criticised it for in previous years. And top of those, one might question whether it was a new play or not, but I think Husbands and Sons, which is effectively a mashup of three D.H. Lawrence plays, for me was a terrific achievement in terms of creating something out of three plays that was greater than the sum of the parts. I enjoyed that very, very much. I thought the adaptation of Jane Eyre was masterly, and I thought that was a huge treat as well. In terms of sort of imports, we had The Mother Thingy with the Hat, which I think was a great play, although quite controversial, I suspect. And then other things that I wouldn't put as high in the list, but still very worthy of mounting at somewhere like the National, and that was Rules for Living, which I think was particularly cleverly structured and staged, and Everyman, which was a timeless piece, but given a great updating, and of course, a great leading performance. And then I think People, Places and Things, which I enjoyed very much, although I think its bleakness kind of pushes it down the list a bit, really. So I think it is a mixed year for the National. It was three quarters the new artistic director's year. So I think, we have to give him a bit more time, although as the year went on, there were other disappointing things like Wonder.Land. But it was a mixture, but enough good things in there to sort of hang on in and hope for more in the future.
I think the major stinker they perhaps had at the National was Evening at the Talkhouse, which really didn't go very well. There was also one or two things that didn't go off very well by some fairly well-known playwrights. We had Tom Stoppard doing Hard Problem, which really didn't go anywhere, I thought. And when it came to Carol Churchill, they revived Light Shining in Buckinghamshire, and I think they gave it an over-elaborate production, which really made it rather boring. I've seen it before, and I saw it before in the National, done in the Cottesloe as it was, and that was done with a very small cast and rather agitprop, and people would just fade in and out of characters. This was done with a cast of thousands on a massive stage. It was a Littleton stage, and they'd turned it into a great big table at one point, and then they dug it all up, and it just didn't work in the end. I think you needed fewer actors on stage, and you didn't need the major production. It was a bit too ambitious. She also did Here We Go, a very short play, but people really didn't get on with that. It certainly had some very interesting themes, but 20 minutes of dressing and undressing in a 45-minute play really didn't help. Two or three revivals that you didn't mention. Waste, I thought, was a good production, and also Man the Superman. I would have liked to have been more impressed by 3 Days in the Country. More impressed than I actually was. It was perfectly good, but I don't think it was an interesting enough play. And a slight, well, possibly a misfire, but interesting for what it was, which was Dara, which we had right at the beginning of the year, a play about one of the early Mughal emperors and some of the people behind things we know, like the Taj Mahal, or names that we can play with, like Aurangzeb. An interesting play, but I don't think it really hit the spot.
No, I mean, Dara, I think it was more the production than the play that I was impressed by. And it was a very enjoyable evening, but I wasn't sure The play was great, but I did think it was given a good outing. I agree with you that both the Patrick Marber play Red Lion and the Tom Stoppard play Hard Problem were both disappointments. And indeed, 3 Days in the Country, which Patrick Marber had adapted, was also a disappointment for me. I didn't mention Waste and Man and Superman. One is because I haven't seen Waste yet, and the other is because Man and Superman, sadly, I missed because of having to go away on business and not being able to get a ticket for another performance. So I missed that completely. But I certainly, I mean, the Turkey evening of the year for me, because I had an abundance of turkey in one evening, because I decided to go and see the Carol Churchill Here We Go and Evening at the Talkhouse on the same evening. And to be quite honest, if those two hadn't been by named playwrights, they would never have been on the national stage, because they'd never get through any theatre's quality assurance process. They were both poor, and I think Evening at the Talkhouse was just simply dreadful. So that would certainly be my turkey of the year, having had both in the same evening, but huge disappointment, really. And those should not be on the national stage. And a test of Rufus Norris going forward won't just be the great things he selects, but will also be the things he doesn't select. And one would hope we'll never see anything like that again on the national stage.
So, Julie, before I ask you what you thought of what was on at the National, your absolute favourite theatre wasn't in London, was it?
No, it was actually the Manchester Royal Exchange, and it was The Crucible. And it was absolutely stunning. The whole thing had me hooked for the 3 hours, and I never realised that play could be so sexy till I saw it there with John Joe and Eileen the lead role. So that was my absolute favourite of the year.
So what did you like at the National?
I mean, I didn't see everything at the National, but the highlights for me was Man and Superman. I thought that was absolutely fantastic. I agreed with you about that. I like the As You Like It as well. I saw it twice, and I think the second time I saw it after I reviewed it, I felt it sparkled much more. And I saw some good things in The Dorfman, People, Places and Things, which I know was a hit of the year for everybody, and Rules for Living in the beginning of the year. I thought that was absolutely hilarious. I really loved that as well. So, yeah, some good stuff at the National. I disagreed with you about Waste. I felt it was quite tedious and quite wordy. And interesting of seeing La Close Les Liaisons d'Orgeret at the Donmar at the same time. I know we're going to talk about that next week, which we're both looking at that underbelly of society. I thought Waste really didn't come up to that.
I think we should move on to what I like to think of as the three sort of big off West End places we've got, which for me are the Almeida, the Donmar and the Royal Court. We'll start with the Royal Court because we had quite a lot of good shows at the Royal Court. You're certainly your favourite new play of the year, Violence and Sun, did rather well. Were there any others that you liked at the Royal Court?
I've had a bit of a downer on the Royal Court, and particularly on the main stage, where I think I've seen things that again, shouldn't really be there, and I felt that the sort of quality assurance process wasn't really working. But it is quite a prolific theatre because of the two spaces, and there were evenings I enjoyed. I mean, Hangman, obviously, was Martin McDonagh probably at his absolute best, and transferred to the West End, and it was an evening I enjoyed very much at the Royal Court. There's also a kind of site-specific piece that they performed all around the building about the NHS, which is called Who Cares, which I enjoyed very much as well, and that would also be on my Royal Court list. Hang, I think, was a very harrowing but very good and very well-written play, again in the main house. I thought that was worthy of being on that stage as well. But now I'm kind of struggling a bit to think of anything else. And when you consider, you know, they've probably done 12, 15 or more things in the year, I think that does sort of tell you something about the Royal Court. But Violence and Sun was my absolute, it was a tough call, but it, you know, I did pick it out as my play of the year because I just thought it was just a very, very good piece of new writing. I'm trying to take out the bias, given the Welsh bias, but I did think that, and of course his other piece, which eventually came to the National's temporary space, Iphigenia in Splott. The two were just together great contributions to drama in London. And Iphigenia qualifies for me as a new play because it's such a radical adaptation of the Greeks that it qualifies in that way, really, but was also for me the joint highlight of the Greeks as well. So, I mean, I'm still, you know, the jury's still out for me on the Royal Court. I've enjoyed some things, but it hasn't performed consistently enough yet for me in the new regime.
Yeah, I certainly agree with you about Hang and Hangman. I think Linda's also worth mentioning because it's certainly a very good central performance from Noma Dumezweni and a decent play. I'm not quite so sure about Penelope Skinner as a writer quite yet, but it was a pretty good play. I mean, there were disappointments, things like How to Hold Your Breath, which should have been a major thing for Maxine Peake. We don't see enough of Maxine Peake down in London. She's done some very good stuff. Hamlet and also The Shrieker she did in Manchester. So it's nice to see her coming, deigning to come down to see us. I think the only other main play we haven't mentioned downstairs at the Royal Court is The Twits, which simply didn't work, although it did have Monica Dolan and Jason Watkins in it, and they are two of my absolutely most favourite actors, so it was slightly disappointing. I did think, though, that Upstairs was actually quite strong this year. We got Violence and Sun, as you've mentioned, but there was a fascinating play called Leela and Co., all about basically a woman sold into prostitution, Liberian Girl, which was a promenade piece and so distressing at one point. I think we did have people rushing to the doors. It was rather nasty in some places, but a very effective piece. Plucks and Tangles, which talked about early onset Alzheimer's. Again, Monica Dolan making up for The Twits in a very good performance, I thought. And a play which, unfortunately, we might not get to review because it's closing next week and I don't think we're going to be able to get anybody to talk about, You For Me, For You, which is about sort of a woman escaping from North Korea. And it's a lovely play done very imaginatively upstairs at the Royal Court and very well worth seeing.
I mean, I had a ticket for that when I was taken ill and I couldn't go. And I can't. There are no tickets left for any of the performances, so I'm not going to be able to fit that in. And the only other one of the Royal Court upstairs that you mentioned that I have seen was Leela and Co. And I'm afraid I didn't like that. I didn't think the production served the play particularly well, and I was disappointed by that. So I was kind of a bit out on a limb, I think, about Leela.
Now, the Royal Court, Julie, like Gareth, you liked Violence and Sun. And what else did you like there?
I liked Plaques and Tangles and Hang as well. I thought there was some really interesting stuff at the Royal Court. There was some tedious things as well that didn't quite work, but I do agree with Gareth around Violence and Sun. I thought that was a really interesting piece of theatre with a challenging subject matter as well. I thought they did that really well. I loved the way they staged that as well, where the actors were coming off the stage and suddenly the steps in the audience were became the kitchen. I thought that was great about Violence and Sun. I think Plaques and Tangles was a real interesting exploration of dementia. I really enjoyed that. Well, enjoy is the wrong word, I suppose, but I thought that was absolutely fascinating. And Hang, the way that took you through the dilemma, that was really good as well. So, yeah, good things at the Royal Court. There were some things that I didn't quite like as much. The play with Maxine Peake, How to Hold Your Breath, it was so disappointing, I think. I tried really hard with that, but I just didn't see where it was going and the journey and the kind of relationship with the bankers. So for me, that was the one disappointment at the Royal Court. But overall, what I saw, enjoyed a lot.
If we go now to the Almeida had a couple of very innovative plays. It also had a Greek season. We'll probably divert on to talking about all the Greek plays we've had this year in London, because it has been a bit of a theme. But the most innovative play, I think, that they put on was Game, which they completely remodelled the theatre, and we began to be like the viewers in the run, the observers in something like Big Brother, but it's Big Brother with a twist. There was also Carmen Disruption, which I thought I didn't get on with mainly because I thought it required me to have studied Carmen in detail before I'd seen it. And so I just kept feeling that, and it put me off the play. I think they did a very worthy production of Little Eyolf, which is still on at the theatre. And then they did The Back Eye, Medea, and Oresteia. The Oresteia had a brief run in the West End after it finished at the Almeida, and was probably the best of the three Greek plays they did. What did you think of the Almeida season?
I think it was a good season. I mean, I thought the idea of the Greeks was brilliant, and two of the three, you know, absolutely hit the spot for me. I thought the Oresteia absolutely shone. I thought that was unquestionably their highlight this year, although I did very much enjoy The Back Eye as well. I thought that was a very innovative and very striking production. The season was let down for me by the Medea, where I felt that stretched the sort of adaptation bit and sort of took it into almost a new play, which I didn't really like very much, to be honest with you. I thought Game was simply brilliant. It was one of the two minimalist Mike Bartlett plays, the other being Bullet, the Young Vic, which I think is on its way back, both of which just in an hour or less just pack so much in and are just so thought-provoking and so riveting. And I thought Game's staging just kind of suited the piece just brilliantly. So Game for me was an absolute highlight there as well, really. And I did like Little Eyolf very much, and it was a good way, you know, to end the year. I think it's been, the year started with, albeit the RSC's production of Merchant of Venice there. So I think it's gone, you know, from good to good, really, throughout the year. And I'm very hopeful of Rupert Gould's future there, because I think, you know, it has been change of direction for the Almeida, but a very stimulating, and lots of stuff surrounding it. I think all, you know, even though I didn't see much, a lot of the things surrounding the Greeks, I think, you know, really made it a sort of event in itself, the whole kind of season, very much an event in itself. So a theatre that I continue to book everything at, because it's just an essential place to go, I think, for people who love theatre.
If we can divert quickly onto the Greek season, one of the things that we had was several repeat plays. So we had two very interesting Medeas, two very interesting Oresteias, and a couple of interesting Antigones. So the Oresteia at the Almeida was sort of complemented by the Oresteia done at the Shakespeare's Globe. I didn't think that one worked quite as well. The Almeida's Oresteia completely reworked the play so it fitted into an evening. It is three plays, and they're fairly short on their own, but they're obviously it's sort of 4 or 5 hours if you do them all three together. The Globe tried to do all the plays in one very long evening, and actually had cut down the last two plays quite savagely in order to fit them in, and having done the first play more or less intact. And it didn't quite work, although Katie Stevens, I think, made a very good Clytemnestra in that, but it was just overshadowed by the Almeida version. Oddly enough, the Almeida's Medea, which we've said wasn't quite as good as it could have been, was overshadowed by a Medea at the Gate Theatre, which was done with just three people and actually focused on Medea's children. So most of what we saw were the performances by Medea's children in a contemporary bedroom, which they share, and they're playing with toys and discussing the story before Medea comes in and does what Medea does. And it was a very striking play and vastly better than the Almeida's Medea.
I didn't see the Gates Medea, so I can't compare the two. I had actually seen two other Medeas outside the country earlier in the year. I'd seen Ivan Van Ho's Medea in Amsterdam, which was brilliant, and much better than his Antigone at the Barbican, which I think we should also touch on in a minute. And I also saw a kind of version in Australia, in Sydney, with the Belvoir Theatre as well. So by the time it got to the Medea at the Gate, I'm afraid I was all Medea'd out, really. But the Oresteia at the Almeida was better than the Globe for me, although I did enjoy the Globe, but it was better at the Globe because the adaptation was better. As you say, they savagely cut two of the plays, just too much, I think, in the Globe. And actually, the evening didn't come out that much more at the Almeida because it was very punchily done, but it was just so much of a better adaptation, really. And as far as the Antigone is concerned, the Ivan Van Ho Antigone with Juliette Binoche at the Barbican was a huge disappointment for me. And I compare it with a very modern updating that was, I think, Pilot Theatre on Tour, which came to Stratford East, which I thought was just a brilliant Antigone, a brilliant relevant up-to-date Antigone, which for me exceeded the Antigone at the Barbican with all the resources and all of the stars and everything that went with it. So Stratford won out on the Antigones, in my opinion.
The Antigone at Stratford was, of course, Roy Williams, who can be trusted to write a really decent play. And it was an adaptation, really, as a sort of in the gangland culture with an Afro-Caribbean cast. And it was very effective, I thought. And as you say, yeah, much more effective than the one at the Barbican. So, Julie, what did you think about the Greeks at the Almeida?
I missed the Medea, unfortunately, but I saw the Aristeia and I absolutely loved that. I loved the way they used time and played with the narrative. I found that gripping, the way that the daughter sat in her father's lap and he killed her as she sat in his lap. That was absolutely sensational. But the Bacchae, I disagree with you and Gareth on that a little bit, because I just couldn't work out what was going on with that. It just didn't work for me. So a mixed response, I think, to the Greeks at the Almeida from me.
Let us move on to the Donmar Warehouse. And you came up with, I think you liked at least four things in this, and practically everything they've done is noteworthy. I should point out that we're probably, hopefully, going to talk about Les Liaisons Dangereuses in detail next week, if everyone's there, but that was your revival of the year, wasn't it?
Absolutely, and I think the Donmar's had a great year, and I think Josie Rourke's really finding her feet there now. You know, it started the year with a stunning revival of a musical of City of Angels, and ended with a stunning revival of a play, as in Les Liaisons Dangereuses. And for me, the thing about the latter, and hopefully we will get to talk about it, is that I haven't seen it for 30 years. And I've just forgotten what a wonderful play it is. Well, I mean, it is for me undoubtedly Christopher Hampton's masterpiece, and it's a great production, great performances, so let's hope we talk about that. But, you know, they also did a great revival of Closer, which has been seen, obviously it's a much newer play than Le Liaison, but I thought it was good to see it revived, and it was done extremely well. And then very, very close call on my best play of the year, along with Vansome, was actually Temple. It was a much more conservative affair, but I found it very thought-provoking and very gentle, the way it kind of looked at the Occupy movement outside St. Paul's and the impact that was having inside St. Paul's on all the various players of the game, and of course a towering central performance from Simon Russell Beale. So that was another great evening at the Donmar. So I do think, you know, the Donmar's had a very good year, and I look forward indeed to more next year. And there are other things there that we probably don't have time to mention, but those are the ones I'd pick out, certainly.
Well, I think it's worth mentioning The Vote, which was a very interesting experiment. I think it was a bit of a star vehicle in many ways, and I didn't get to see it. It was just impossible to get tickets unless you were very lucky. But I did see it on television, and I think that was a rather good piece of work. I mean, the play itself, I don't think, was up to much, but as an experiment, as just something that made you think about the sort of the last hour of a general election, which I think was a disappointment to quite a lot of people, except if you're a conservative voter. It worked really quite well in the end, but it was worth noting because of the way it was done, with this large cast of people coming in all the time and for a few moments, that also that live feeling on the night of the election, which worked, I thought, really quite well.
Yeah, I didn't get tickets to that either, but also watched it on television. I do think it sort of qualifies as an event, really. I think it was a great idea to do that. And I actually think it was a well-written piece, really. So well done for the Donmar on that.
One of the things I'd like to talk about is the West End. You have mentioned a couple of West End things. I'm not sure that the West End has been too wonderful. I mean, we've got one of the things in the West End is we get a lot of things that of course, we who go to off West End places like, you know, the Almeida, the Donmar, and lots of other places, we've usually seen them before, or they've been done. We've seen other productions of these, the plays, but we've got one or two interesting things, musicals like Kinky Boots and Beautiful, which I think you put as your top musicals. So, yeah, and of course, Bend It Like Beckham, which I think you put as your favourite musical. We did have a bit of a stinker with Women on the Verge of a Nervous Breakdown, which I think disappointed quite a lot of people. Of course, we've got Gypsy, which came in from Chichester, which you talked about last year, but I think you saw it a couple of times. And more recently, Guys and Dolls has also come in from Chichester. And we did have a couple of star vehicles coming in with Elephant Man at the Theatre Royal Haymarket, starring Bradley Cooper, and American Buffalo with John Goodman coming in at the Wyndhams. I think American Buffalo had quite a lot going for it, but it wasn't fantastic, and The Elephant Man I just felt was rather old-fashioned. One of the oddest things in the West End this year, I think, was The Importance of Being Earnest, David Suchet, at the Vaudeville Theatre. He was playing Lady Bracknell, and he was okay in it, but I don't think he really brought anything new to it or fascinating to it, and you could sit down and name 20 different actresses who could play the role just as well, just as interestingly, and could have brought more to it. It was it felt a bit like a vanity project, but I think people who went seemed to enjoy themselves. Could you talk more about some of these, the musicals you saw in the West End?
Yeah, before I talk about musicals, I mean, I think the most striking thing about the plays in the West End is that there were only two that originated in the West End, for me, in my list of good stuff. And that was Photograph 51 and Future Conditional. Photograph 51, of course, famously starring Nicole Kidman, who is worthy of all the sort of plaudits she gets. I thought it was a great performance, and I thought it was a good play rather than a great play, but certainly great to see it in the West End. And I thought Future Conditional, which was really about the state of our education system, which opened the new regime at the Old Vic, was much better than the reviews credited it for. I thought it was a really interesting discussion around a very important issue, but also a very entertaining piece, really. But then all the other stuff in the West End I've enjoyed really originated elsewhere. I mean, Mr. Foote's Other Leg, of course, came from Hampstead. The Father came from The Tricycle. Farinelli and the King came from The Globe. Oppenheimer came from the RSC up at the Swan. And Taken at Midnight, and those would be the ones I would pick out, came from Chichester. So the best stuff in the West End, I think, is still coming in from the subsidised sector, or indeed outside London. The one that I haven't mentioned and I would like to mention is Bad Jews, because I think that did come, I think, from the St. James's Theatre into the Arts Theatre, and I thought that was a very good piece of writing, and I thought a very good new play. The other striking thing about West End musicals is that only one of them originated in London again. You know, of the sort of four things I've listed in the West End that I've liked, you know, Kinky Boots came over from Broadway, and very enjoyable it is too. Beautiful, which I really liked. The Carole King, fairly biographical musical, came over from Broadway as well. And Close to You, which originally came to the Menier, then moved into the West End. In the Menier, it was called What's It All About? And in the West End, Close to You also came over from off-Broadway, I think. So only one of the West End musical highlights for me originated in the West End, and that was Bend It Like Beckham. But that takes absolutely nothing away from the fact that it is a great British musical. It stands up, though, for me, with musicals like Billy Elliot. I think it's just a brilliant feel-good show. And I'm somebody that puts my money where my mouth is, so I'm going back on Saturday for the third time to see this absolutely terrific show. So Bend It Like Beckham, unquestionably the musical of the year. But I really would strongly recommend Close to You and Beautiful as being, you know, celebrations of the music of great songwriters like Carole King and Burt Bacharach, but in very different ways. Beautiful in a sort of biographical way, a la Jersey Boys, and Close to You as a sort of mashup and a kind of compilation show, but equally wonderful. But I think, you know, for musicals in the West End, a disappointment, to be frank, and also for plays originating in the West End, a disappointment as well. It's the stuff coming in from the subsidised sector and out of town that's really, really showing the way.
Going back quickly to the subject of the West End, a couple of plays we haven't mentioned. Jamie Lloyd is continuing to put on some pretty cracking revivals of plays there. This year he did The Ruling Class, which I think was certainly a very good performance by James McAvoy, and almost a rediscovery of this play, and the playwright, it's certainly something you would want to think about. And more recently, The Homecoming. Again, him doing, he did Hot House in 2014, and another Harold Pinter this year in The Homecoming was really quite impressive, I thought.
I think the Jamie Lloyd season is one of the best things that's ever happened to the West End, to be honest, more so than the Kenneth Branagh or the Michael Grandage on recent form. And he's done great Shakespeare's like Richard III and Macbeth. I mean, I thought The Ruling Class was an eye-opener, really. I mean, such a rare revival and eye-opener of a play as well. And then he's made me completely re-look at Pinter with The Hot House and the latest, The Homecoming. So, I mean, I think that that's one of the most exciting things to happen in the West End, and I'm really glad it's coming back and continuing, because it's, well, just a breath of fresh air, frankly. The production's very, very original and striking, and the audience is, I think, you know, responding to that excitement very appropriately.
I think we'll move on to some of the musicals we've seen in the fringe places or off West End places. One of the things about this is that there does seem to be an awful lot of good stuff. You've mentioned an awful lot from the Union Theatre in your best of list, and also the Ye Olde Rose Crown in Walthamstow, the Landor Theatre, and the Southwark Playhouse, all featuring the list I've seen from you. And what I find a bit of a pity is that we're not getting transfers in from those places. I mean, perhaps it's because they are too small scale to go into a bigger place, and there isn't a bigger place available for them to go to. But we get a lot of really decent musicals coming from those places. We're always talking about things done at the Southwark Playhouse and the Union and the Landor and everywhere else. And unfortunately, what we don't get is things moving in to the West End. I mean, I think the only off West End place that does do that is the Menier Chocolate Factory, which, as you say, got close to you and will be doing Funny Girl as well later. So, obviously, there is a very healthy sub thing of the fringe musicals, the off West End musicals, but how are they going to translate into the big places, or do they need to? What do you think?
I think they're not going to. I mean, I think that Funny Girl was put into the Menier, but always with the intention of transferring to the West End. And frankly, I think it's probably going to be better at the Savoy Theatre than it was at the Menier, because I think it is a show that needs a bigger theatre. But I think that was probably always its intention, because Sonia Friedman was behind it, because I think that they announced the transfer before they'd even opened the show. They sold it out, but before they even had the first performance. So that was always going to. But none of the others, I think, are a kind of West End material, really. The only two exceptions, I think the Grand Hotel, which for me was the revival of the year at the Southwark Playhouse, could go back into the West End. But it has had a West End, or a couple of West End runs, one at the Dominion many moons ago, where it first was written, I think, and a much better one at the Donmar, but again, quite some time ago. I think this is the best of them all, unquestionably, for me. But I wonder whether, you know, it's of the scale that could take it into a West End theatre. I think it's could certainly go into a smaller scale place, but we don't really have enough of those. The St. James's, perhaps, or the Donmar doesn't receive stuff, but that kind of size of theatre, really. But the other shows on the Fringe, great though they are not really West End candidates. The best of the Fringe ones for me is The White Feather at the Union Theatre, which is a brilliant new musical. I really, really like that, and I'd love to see that have another outing, but I don't think a West End outing. And they also did a great show called A Spitfire Grill, which was a British premiere, although a show that's a little bit older, which came from, you know, from a US show, which I thought was terrific. That was also at the Union Theatre as well. And also at the Playhouse, we had Teddy, which is a very original new two-hander musical, which I thought was very clever and very different and very original. The other show that could move from the Playhouse to the West End, and there have been some sort of hints about it, is actually Xanadu, which is just a romp, but it's just such fun. I could imagine that transferring. But again, I wonder, it's, you know, not a 1,000-seater scale, perhaps a 300 to 500 scale, if such a place existed, because I think Xanadu was just enormous fun. And they did great business in Southwark. So I think it's got a great head of steam, both in terms of reviews and ticket sales. I think worth mentioning the Open Air Theatre, because they did a great Seven Brides for Seven Brothers. It took me two visits to get to see it all the way through because of the rain, but I thought it was a great Seven Brides for Seven Brothers. And even though it wasn't a musical, I'm just going to throw in now that their adaptation of Peter Pan was an absolute treat. And that was the other good thing at the Open Air, as well as the revival of To Kill a Mockingbird this year. And then, as you say, Face the Music out in Walthamstow, together with something else in Walthamstow that now escapes me. Oh, yes, Bye Bye Birdie. So they had two shows that I thought were great revivals this year. And then back at the Union again, we had Spend, 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 which was a very close sort of second on my revivals. A brilliant production, brilliantly performed, of what I think is a very underrated musical. And they brought Loserville into the Fringe quite soon after its West End run, hence I can't see it going back, really. They also did Our House, but I didn't go and see it because I'd seen a very interesting production at a prison earlier in the year with Suggs himself in it. And they also did Whistle Down the Wind, which was a Fringe outing for an Angelo Webber show I hadn't seen in the West End, and I'm not a big Angelo Webber fan, but I thought they made a great fist of that as well, really. So the Union shone again, as it's done in most years. Walthamstow, I think, and Southwark Playhouse also doing quite well. Not such a good year at the Landor this year. I think Thoroughly Modern Millie was the one that shone there, really. But mostly revivals and mostly shows that you wouldn't really see transferring into the West End. But the two most likely candidates both come from Southwark Playhouse in Xanadu and Grand Hotel, I think.
Tell me, Paul, more about what you saw this year.
Thanks, Tim. Well, actually, I think I've tended to stay away from the West End this year. And actually, that's probably by choice in as much by accident or design. But I think there's been some things looking back on last year that have stood out for me. One would be the resourcefulness of some of the musicals that I've seen in smaller spaces. And I mean by that, by taking a musical that may have had been staged on Broadway or the West End and playing it in a smaller space, it's certainly been given a fresh perspective. I think I started the year with the grand tour at the Finborough Theatre, which was a complete surprise and a lot of fun. And then later in the summer, there was Grand Hotel and Carrie, both at the Southwark Playhouse, that also gave a sort of a new lease of life, I think, on a previously overlooked musical. Having said that, there's been a lot of good stuff in pub theatres. Two things at the Landor stood out for me last year. The musical from the 1950s, I believe, She Loves Me, and the play In the Dead of the Night, which used some very clever lighting effects to give a film noir type feeling to the stage. Then I think ultimately there's also been a lot of good new writing that has come this year, a lot of which has been at Theatre 503 in Battersea, and hopefully 2016 will be just as exciting. But I think the play that stood out there was definitely Rotterdam, with its fresh take on a lesbian couple where one wanted to have a sex change. But also in there was Animals and then come the Nightjars, which were also equally good. And I think in terms of new musicals that I did see, I would also highlight The Clockmaker's Daughter, which was also at the Landor Theatre Pub, as a very ambitious new work, which hopefully will have a lease of life further afield, as there's a recording now of it, and it probably deserves a fully fledged production at a larger space to see where it goes. And having said that as well, the other new musical, which I guess was a carryover from the previous year, which is still playing in the Heights, is always one that I'm recommending for anyone to go see. But I think that was stand out for me as sort of the highlights from last year.
If I can just touch on the Young Vic, because I think the Young Vic is also the exciting place to be at the minute, really. And this year, what they've done, which is quite interesting, is they've tackled some Shakespeare's and taken very original and very radical looks at both Measure for Measure and Macbeth, the first one being radical in terms of its cutting and its shock value, I suppose, and the Macbeth being the blend of dance stroke theatre adaptation. And I just think it's great that we've got the Young Vic that's doing stuff like that and sort of trying things that other people aren't doing. And it's coming at a time for me, and I know you will be talking about the RSC, which I haven't seen any Shakespeare's out this year, I don't think. It comes at a time where, for me, places like the RSC are just becoming incredibly conservative in their production of Shakespeare. And I think that there's a striking difference between what's happening at places like the Young Vic and what's happening at the RSC.
The Shakespeare at the Young Vic has been probably the most exciting of the year. Another interesting play from them, I think, was Song from Far Away, which has been very well reviewed. Possibly people had their heads turned a bit by the fact that it was being done by a naked man. But again, we get Ivo Van Ho. This is the good Ivo Van Ho this year, I think. And we certainly want to see more of his work in London. They did an interesting play in Our Wilderness, which is an early Eugene O'Neill, which was interesting, but I don't think was a really great play. But they remade the theatre a lot. I think the main house's worst play was The Trial, where they again completely remade the space, had everybody on a travelator, and it really wasn't all that good, unfortunately, and it had Rory Kinnear in it, which has made it extremely disappointing. But other than that, I mean, there's certainly the two Shakespeares that they've done, the Macbeth and the Measure for Measure, were exciting and kind of made up for that.
I enjoyed The Trial more than you did, certainly, and others, really. I mean, I suppose I do quite like the fact that Richard Jones just tries to do things very differently, and even though it sometimes doesn't succeed 100%, I think that, you know, you always go back and think, well, it was worth a try, and you're glad you kind of experienced it. So I was more positive about The Trial, but, I mean, it has been a very good year and continues to be a very exciting place to go, I think, the Young Vic.
Yeah, so, Julie, how did you find the Young Vic season?
I think the Young Vic season was probably the star season overall for me. The Barbican came close because I saw lots of good things at the Barbican. But overall, the Young Vic generally tended to be a good season. I enjoyed The Trial more than some people. I thought that was interesting, but there was a bits of it that annoyed me, like actors playing lots of parts. It just didn't, Katie O'Flynn, it just didn't seem to work. But it wasn't as bad for me as some people felt, The Trial. But Happy Days, really enjoyed that. And the highlight was Measure for Measure. I loved the Macbeth as well. I know, again, some people didn't like the Macbeth, but I really liked the Macbeth. I just loved the contrast between the contemporary dance and the kind of classical verse speaking. And I think by Macbeth, I was absolutely dying for a really, really interesting Shakespeare to come along, because what we'd seen, and I know we'll talk about that, at the Globe had become quite safe and traditional. I also really enjoyed the Measure for Measure at the Young Vic. That was one of my highlights of the year. I think it wouldn't be my top Shakespeare, because the Measure for the Measure at the Barbican came before, and they were doing several things in a similar way, but the Barbican Shoot by Gel Measure for Measure was, for me, the best one of the two. But the Young Vic production was a really good production as well.
In mentioning Shakespeare, we don't get too much Shakespeare outside things like the National and, as we said, the Young Vic, and the main place to see Shakespeare in London is the Globe. But I think before we mention anything about the Globe, the Shakespeare to mention was the Hamlet at the Barbican. Probably we're going to talk about this more later, but that was massive, massive sales. I think most people enjoyed it. I was slightly disappointed by it, but that partially was where I was sitting. They hadn't blocked it out properly, and there were one or two other problems, but it did get me onside at various points. I saw it too early before they'd really worked out where they were going to put all the speeches in the play, and they were still playing about with it a bit, so it didn't quite work as well as it could have done. But there were aspects of it that were sort of good, but overall some people, I think people who are aficionados in Shakespeare, were a little bit disappointed by it. The Globe, as the place in London where you get to see a lot of Shakespeare, obviously that's one of the things they do. They had I found it slightly disappointing, certainly all their outdoor ones. I don't think they had any bad Shakespeare. I mean, they have in the past had some very iffy Shakespeare at the Globe, but they got into a thing of doing it very solidly. It's very reliable, and it's of a good general quality, but nothing really excited me. I think the most interesting Shakespeare they did there was King John, which I think was an import which has been touring. It's toured all over the place and performed in cathedrals, or performed in quite a lot of cathedrals on the way. And that was a very interesting version. That said, the most recent plays that they've done in the Sam want to make a playhouse. They gave us some rather interesting Shakespeares just now, and hopefully, I hope we'll be able to talk about them at some point. Cymbeline and Pericles, which are usually plays aren't done that often because they're a bit tricky to do well, and they have produced two very almost delightful performances. And having said that, there's a little something a little bit staid about the Globe's outside season. Both these plays have been done by people who are very old Globe hands. They're regulars at the Globe. And to come out with something which, almost from the Shakespeare's Globe rep company, you get two very nice productions of Shakespeare. But I think the most interesting plays that came out of the Globe were a couple of new plays this year, other than Farinelli and the King, which we've already mentioned coming, which transferred into the West End. But we also had The Heresy of Love, which was about Sister Juana, who is a nun in Mexico, who was caught out for heresy for writing poetry, and she was a great poet and playwright. But I think the main one is Nell Gwynn. Jessica Swale, once again, is showing us just how annoyingly talented she is, producing a very funny play and introducing to me to Gugu Mbatha Raw, which I hadn't seen her in Belle, the film she was in. But she's certainly an actress I'd want to see again. And if I've got a discovery this year, it would certainly be her. I was actually disappointed to find out that when it did the West End transfer, they were going to use Gemma Arterton instead. And Gemma Arterton might look a little bit more like Nell Gwynn, but I liked Gugu Mbatha-Raw's performance better. Did you get anything catch your eye at the Globe this year?
I didn't go to a lot of the English language Shakespeare's because they weren't plays I was kind of ready to visit, really. But I did go to King John, which I enjoyed very much indeed. A couple of visiting productions, the Chinese Richard III, which came back, having been done without costumes in the G2G in 2012, disappointed me, as indeed did the one in Cantonese from the Hong Kong company. So a little bit disappointing. However, I would echo your point. I mean, I think Nell Gwynn is a candidate for best new play for me. I think it's Jessica Swale, you know, doing another cracking new play. I think it's both surprising but thrilling that it gets the transfer to the West End. But I share your disappointment that Gugu Mbatha-Raw isn't available for the West End, because I think she's one of the best things about it. So I didn't see so much at the Globe, and certainly not so much Shakespeare, but a lot of the things I did see, and because we mentioned the Oresteia before, I did enjoy, and I continue to go there, and I'm going to go to all of the four Shakespeare's inside. I tried out the Julius Caesar in the Sam Wanna Make a Playhouse and thought it was brilliant in 2014. So I booked to go and see all four of the late plays this next couple of months. So hopefully we get to talk about one or more of those at that point in time. But, you know, I still think that Globe goes to strength. I still think that the Sam Wanna Make a Playhouse is a fantastic addition to London's theatre scene. So it's somewhere that's hot on my list. And one of the first things I'll be doing the next couple of weeks is booking for the summer season this year.
Yes, definitely. Although I'm going to be standing again, I'm too poor to be able to afford a really decent seat. Julie, let's talk more about the Shakespeare that's gone on. We've already mentioned that the Globe was a little bit disappointing in some ways this year, although I think the King John was pretty good, and the indoor ones, especially some of the recent ones, Pericles and Cymbeline, which hopefully we'll talk about sometime in a few weeks, I think they were very well worth seeing, and those are the indoor ones. But overall, Shakespeare, not just in the Globe, but, you know, Shakespeare across London. But we've got, obviously, the Hamlet that was on. How did you feel about that? And what about the other ones? You've mentioned the Russian Measure for Measure by Jigme Zhao, which was fascinating because it was very easy to follow. But it, obviously, in Russian, you really felt it was bold and innovative. And as you said, it was the Young Vic version. You felt as if they were borrowing a little bit, although, you know, not entirely. But what did you think of the Shakespeare around town? Because it's not just that. There's also the Winter's Tale at the Garrick, done by, again, Kenneth Branagh's company.
Well, I think there was some really good stuff. I certainly enjoyed The Winter's Tale at the Garrick. I thought that was a good start to the season. However, again, it was a typical kind of West End show. There was a lot of money spent on the set and the costumes. The verse speaking was wonderful. Judi Dench, I thought, was great in that. So, yes, I enjoyed it. It didn't wow me, but I did enjoy it. I was one of the people that actually grew to love the Hamlet at the Barbican. I was just fascinated with the size of it. I think that great big Barbican stage used to that effect. And also, I was interested in the way that they fragmented the text. I love the kind of move from the first half to the second half. So that was one of my top productions, The Hamlet at the Barbican. And I think it grew for me through its run. I also love the King John at the Globe, and I think that benefited because it had done a tour before it went into the Globe. There were three Measure for Measures in London this year. Two of them we've spoken about, and the one at the Globe as well. And I think the one at the Globe just was so disappointing. Wonderful performance from Mariah Gale as Isabella, but just too much focus on the comedy, that it was just over the top. And I think it just lost the nuances of the play that the other two productions brought out really well. There was, of course, Rupert Gould's Merchant of Venice at the Almeida, which was finishing its run at the Almeida in February. I think it finished its run. And then we had Merchant of Venice at the Globe. And again, having seen the one at the Almeida and what you can do with that play to make it really, really interesting. The one at the Globe was a good production, but again, it wasn't a production that wowed me. And then there was the RSE one at Stratford that didn't actually come into London. There was the Wars of the Roses, of course, at the Rose Theatre in Kingston, and that had some really interesting moments, such as I said in the review, really loved Alex Waldman's Henry in that, but some of the other performances weren't up to that same kind of excitement as Alex Waldman was, and Robert Sheehan did a quite good Richard III, you know, a decent Richard III. Yeah, nice to finish, I suppose, the year on As You Like It at the National. I thought that there were some great things. Still love the sheep in that production. Love the set change from the court to the forest. Love the ending as well with the girls in those beautiful dresses. So some good stuff, some okay stuff, and some really great stuff Shakespeare-wise this year, I think.
If we move on to the Fringe Theatre, there's always an awful lot of good stuff at the Fringe. Trying to pick out some stuff, I mean, things like No Villain at the Old Red Lion. I found myself going to the Old Red Lion a lot. It seems to have really got quite a lot of good stuff that's going through there at the moment, although it's very easy to miss stuff. Similar things for the Theatre 503, which I think had some very good plays. But you read about them, I realise I'm solidly booked and I don't manage to get there. It's also more difficult to get to than places like the Old Red Lion. We have the Park Theatre, which I think did some rather interesting plays. Gathered Leaves, Dead Sheep was quite good fun, and the Jimmy Savile play was remarkably creepy and uncomfortable, but worthy of note, I think. The Finborough didn't have quite as good a year. I mean, Finborough is always solid, and I think it's always worth going to. The one that really stood out for me, just because of its historical significance, was Our American Cousin, which was a fairly good production of a play. It's kind of old-fashioned Victorian play. It's famous because on one particular line, which got a big laugh, the next thing you heard was a gunshot as President Lincoln was shot dead. It was interesting from a historical point of view, and it's certainly the kind of play that if somebody rediscovered it and gave it a brush down, could do quite well in an off-West End theatre. But I don't know that there were some other good plays in the Finborough, but nothing really jumps out at me when I look at this, the list I've got in front of me. The Gay Theatre, everybody's talking about Eclipsed, which dealt with similar things to Liberian Girl, the idea of sort of the child soldiers in Africa, which people were very impressed by. We've already mentioned Medea, and again, The Gate is something you kind of probably should go to all the time, but don't do enough of. We mentioned the Hampstead for Miss Foot's Other Leg. I think there's a couple of other good productions upstairs, but I think the best production upstairs they did, another one we haven't talked about is Hapgood, and hopefully we might get to talk about that at some point when people have seen it. But other than that, I mean, we got some interesting pieces at the Arcola, Clarion, Crouch, Touch, Pause, Engage. There was also a couple of things in their other space, Peddling and Product. Peddling, Harry Melling, showing that he can also write plays, which is, again, disturbing when you see somebody as talented as he is. What else do you find in the fringe of note?
Well, I think the trio of the Arcola, even to me, were amongst my evenings of the year. I think Crouch, Touch, Pause and Engage was very close to being a best new play for me. It was a National Theatre of Wales and Outer Joint co-production visiting. But I thought it was very well written by Robin Soames, a verbatim piece, and brilliantly performed. And it was a very, very moving evening of theatre. They also did, you mentioned Clarion, which I think was great to see somebody doing something on the nasty press, and wonderful to see Claire Higgins in the Fringe. So that was another great evening. And the one you haven't mentioned is Eventide, which is a Barney Norris play, follow-up to his stunning first play, The Visitors. And I thought that was a very, very gentle but very, very lovely evening at the Arcola as well. You mentioned Theatre 503. The one I'd pick out from there, probably the only one I went to actually, was Rotterdam. I have the same problem with Fringe theatres in that as soon as I pick up on something, it's too late. But in this particular case, it was the podcast and your review on the podcast that actually drove me to go. And boy, was I glad I went, because it was a fascinating piece about transgender issues, but also incredibly entertaining, incredibly funny. And that was, again, quite close in the new play stakes for me this year. I think that Luna Gale is one I pick out at Hampstead, because alongside, I think, Mr. Foot's Other Leg, that would be my other good evening at Hampstead Theatre this year. I would also pick out, I think, at The Bush. We haven't talked about The Bush, and it's not had a great year, but The Royale, which was quite early in the year, which is a play about boxing, which I'm not in the slightest bit interested in, was a very, very good play, very, very well produced. That was a highlight of the year for me as well, I think, at The Bush. And something unusual at Southwark Playhouse, One Arm, which was a Tennessee Williams short play, but actually was a more substantial short play than a lot of the Tennessee Williams short plays, and got a really, really good production. So I thought One Arm was another fringe highlight for me. You mentioned Gathered Leaves. I would echo Gathered Leaves. It was another great reason for going to the Park Theatre. Very, very, very enjoyable indeed. And I think that's probably my lot. And the only, well, my final contribution would be one we only reviewed very recently, which is, of course, The Old Red Lion getting a world premiere of Arthur Miller's first play. I mean, you can't think much more of a coup than that for a fringe theatre. And they certainly made the most of it with a terrific production. So I think a good year, but mostly for the sort of the usual suspects in terms of the sort of fringe theatres, really, the theatres that we go to quite a lot. And I think that the Finbar does stand out as being not having had as good a year, but I'm sure that is a blip. And I've already got things booked for the Finbar for next year. I'm sure are going to be great.
So, Julie, what interesting stuff did you see on the fringe this year?
Actually, some brilliant stuff on the fringe, and I wish I'd actually had a chance to see a lot more than I did. I saw Joanne at the Soho Theatre with Tanya Moody, who, of course, is going to go on to play Gertrude at the RSC. It was a monologue, but she was playing five different characters. I really, really enjoyed that. I loved the Print Room's production of A Breakfast of Eels. I thought that was just so moving, and that the two actors on stage, the way they worked together and the way that the narrative cleverly unfolded, that was absolutely fantastic as well. I saw a couple of the productions at the Arcola in the international season, and I enjoyed those. I thought that was quite nice, though there wasn't a lot of people there, and that was a shame. I think you could have done with more people in the audience. Also, I think Hampstead Theatre downstairs for me is always a really good place to go to catch something exciting and interesting. Of course, WASP started in the Hampstead downstairs, and also A Further Education I thought was an interesting play. A couple of the fringe productions I've actually seen elsewhere one of my top picks of the year was Crouch, Touch, Pause, Engage, which I absolutely loved. I saw that in Leeds. That was fantastic play about Wales and the town of Bridgend. Bull had seen a couple of years ago in Sheffield as well. That is a sensational play. I can and see why it's come back to the Young Vic. And another one that I really thought was really interesting was The Audience with Jimmy Savile, which I didn't actually see at the Park Theatre. I saw it in a big lecture hall at the Edinburgh Fringe Festival. So that would be a very, very different space from the Park Theatre. But the way Alistair McGowan caught the menace of Jimmy Savile, I thought that was just brilliant. I just absolutely believed he was Jimmy Savile, and he was so frightening, particularly when he had those shorts on, that sense of Jimmy Savile being a big man as well. So yeah, unfortunately didn't see it at the Park, but I was glad to catch that in Edinburgh. I'm not sure you call the Barbican Fringe, would you? But I think I enjoyed seeing A Mad World again that I'd seen in Stratford a couple of years ago, and also The Waiting for Godot at the Barbican, the Australian Waiting for Godot. I really enjoyed that as well. So yeah, lots of stuff everywhere.
It was a bit of a treat, The Waiting for Godot, because you were seeing Hugo Weaving, who you've seen in practically everything else.
Yes.
And he's always been a fascinating actor. And, you know, he's always a great addition to any movie he's in. And he's a really interesting actor, and it's a great treat to see him on stage. You can find us at AYULTP on Twitter, on the as yet unnamed London Theatre Podcast page at Facebook, on the web we are AYULTP.com. The podcast can also be found on both iTunes and Stitcher, where you can leave a review. Thank you. Goodbye.